is Monday, okay? And we got a countdown going here, which means we're ready to have a good time tonight on a Monday. Did you make it through? Are you alive? 18 seconds. Jump on in here. Going live on Insta. Great. Got to get that out of the way. Perfect. Now we're refreshing over here at Rumble, making sure we're on with 8 seconds to go. Making sure my Rumble people, I'm not leaving you in the dust. And we're at zero. Let's keep waiting. As we do that, we're going to think, we're going to meditate. We're going to meditate and think, oh, Lord, there we are. Thank you that I made it through today. Let's roll that intro. Hey, everybody. Hey, we are live. Caught me snoozing there. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Church Prep with MWD. Monday drum roll. I am Mark W. Douglas. Let's start things off with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Happy Monday drum roll. Are you ready for a 5-song concert tonight? Yes, of course you are. But first, it's now time to introduce the Song of the Week's title and lyrics. The Song of the Week, number 23, is titled Out of the Rain. Let's pull it up on the screen and let's read those lyrics. Hey now, won't you come out of the rain tonight and let me shelter you? It's cold and you're alone. Hey, what you fighting for? The love you want to find is right here. Headed down to Georgia one Saturday night. Two old friends stole a case of beer. We were looking for a fight. And who am I? Is what I was screaming to myself as I felt the whole world fall down. And what if I'd had the time to listen? To hear the voice and have an ear to listen. Hey now, won't you come out of the rain tonight? And let me shelter you. It's cold and you're alone. Hey, what you fighting for? The love you want to find is right here. And I couldn't believe my ears. The day you told me drugs give peace and they bring me closer to God. Well, we've all made mistakes, and sometimes wondering what we are, forgetting who He is. And what if I'd taken the time to listen, to hear the voice and have an ear to listen? Hey now, won't you come out of the rain tonight? And let me shelter you. It's cold and you're alone. Hey, what you fighting for? The love you want to find is right here. But what you couldn't know then is what you do know now. You're taking the time to listen. You hear the voice. You have an ear to listen. Hey now, won't you come out of the rain tonight and let me shelter you? It's cold and you're alone. Hey, what you fighting for? The love you want to find is right here. The love you're looking for is right here. It's right here. It's right here. And mic drop. Out of the rain. Can't wait to sing that song for you. I will be singing it. Ooh, what am I going to? I'm going to sing it this Sunday. The 15th song in my pre-church concert. That's right before you go to church. You're going to tune me in, put me on the Bluetooth, and have a good time listening to MWD for a good maybe hour and 15 minutes. It ends up being an hour and 15 minutes to get in all 15 songs. So the 15th song, Out of the Rain. Love it, love it, love it. And I can't wait to do the backstory for this song on Wednesday. I can't wait to do the Bible verses on Friday. So Monday is just kind of potpourri day, right? I can just, what are we going to talk about? We'll talk about the song a little bit, okay? And I do want to just kind of throw out there my initial thoughts about this song is really somebody like me. You know, I wrote this about myself, not about anybody else. Somebody just like me out there who kind of like, you know that there's something to this Jesus thing. There's something to this church thing. There's something to this spirituality thing. But maybe you're looking for every excuse in the book to disregard it. The first excuse may be that the church is corrupt. And the next excuse might be, what a hokey thing, you know, there's no dial moving, right? They're not moving the dial. That's not where it's happening. The truth is, there's more truth on the internet than there is in the pulpit. I don't know, what are the excuses that people come up with, right? To find their way around following Jesus. And understanding, taking the time to understand the word, understand what it's saying, and who is it for, right? And this is what happens when you get out of God's will, right? You steal a case of beer, right? And you have to ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I doing? Is this the way I want to live my life? And you drink the case of beer. What am I doing? Is this the way I want to live my life, right? Just like the verse says there. Now, I just want to ask you, let's ask you, what's going on with you, right? What's your story? What happened to you? Are you in church? Is church checking all the boxes for you, right? Because this is so good. We talked about it last week, especially last week. If you missed last week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I was on fire, folks, talking about the church. My topic was open doors, open hearts, and open minds. Man, did I open it up on Friday, too. Ooh, even after the Bible stuff, right? But I want to ask you something here. I want to kind of dig a little bit here on what's going on with you and your life. Because let's say that you are in Camp A. I'm going to church, Mark, and I got everything worked out. I've figured out what God wants me to do, and I'm right in the middle of His will. And so this is good, by the way. This is wonderful. But I do have to ask you a question. Knowing what you know about your life right now, this is just a fair question. Is this God's perfect will? You're in God's perfect will, all right? And if you are, great. This is just a point to be made, right? But we have to start doing a self-evaluation. Not me evaluating, but this is where you have to start. Self-evaluating. Is this whole scenario that I found myself in? And then you didn't find yourself in it, by the way. I'll give you a 10-year mulligan. You may have heard my show when I said, I'll give you a 10-year mulligan. All right. But you just found yourself in this situation that you have no control over, and this is your lot in life. My whole thing is, if you started out life and you just had it, you had those stupidest parents, you had the worst luck, you had, you know, and here you are, and you've got the poorest whatever, no resources to get anywhere. I'm going to say to when you, the day you turn 18, I'll give you a 10-year mulligan. All right. But the day you turn 28, that mulligan is over. This is just my idea of reality, of people saying, I've just had it so bad. You just don't understand, Mark. I've had it so bad. And it just keeps getting worse from the day that I turn 28 to the day I turn 38 to the day I turn 48. I just can't get it together. At what point do we need to stop feeling sorry for you? Now, again, I'll give you a 10-year mulligan. Get it figured out. Get it straightened out. All the stuff, all the weight that you, the yoke, let's say, call it the heavy yoke, the burden that you bear, that you have to carry. I understand. I understand in part. Not everything, because everybody's got their own story, but I understand how I, trust me, I understand about being poor, about kind of maybe not making the wisest decisions as a family, right? Parents having to deal with some of that. It's okay. It's okay. Take a deep breath. These kinds of things happen. No one's perfect. But now it's me, right? I turned 28, right? I've already been 28. And so now the mulligan is over. All the excuses and the piles and piles of excuses, it's over at some point. You may say that you want to give me a 5-year mulligan. Okay. Maybe you want to give me a 20-year mulligan. You have to figure this out too, because there are people in this world who deserve a mulligan. Let's be fair. They just weren't born in the best of circumstances. And you have to get upright. You have to sit up straight and go, this is me now. And I'm now going to take responsibility because I finally got out of the muck and the mire. I finally got out of the muck and the mire. I'm going to stand tall and I'm going to say, I own this, right? Self-responsibility. I own the next step that I'm going to take at 28. I own this step now. This is my step. This is my story. And I'm going to be proud of every step I take. I'm done with the excuses. And by the way, some of what I'm saying right now, this is why it's so applicable to hang around to the end of the show every time. Hang around to the end of the show where I give you words of confirmation and things that you could say to yourself, things that you could say to others to really move yourself forward into a life of action. When we put all, we're done with all the nonsense, right? You know, so anyway, so where are you? In this age, you know, in this age of your life where you can say, no, I'm going to own my situation. I'm going to own it because this is the thing that I built for myself. Again, if you're under 28, I'm going to challenge you to start get ready. The drum roll is happening right now. The drum roll is happening. This is according to me. Of course, I'm just a person. I'm just a man, right? But I'm telling you, the drum roll is happening where the excuses of the family is going to come to an end. Praise God. That's okay. It's okay. Let's make that come to an end. And now let's get ready to put on the big boy pants. Some people call it adulting. You ever heard of somebody say, it's hard adulting? That used to be a word. Maybe that word is not cool anymore. I don't know. Adulting. Are you ready to adult? This is taking responsibility. No more excuses for your past. The things that the really horrific things that other people have done to you. And I get it. And you're in somewhat of a prison. You really are until a certain age. That could be a great prison, by the way, with free food and lots of love and lots of everything. But you're being controlled. You are under the authority of another person. And that's a good thing. That's the way it's set up in biblically, right? And by the way, biblically, it doesn't say 18. We know this. So at some point, we have to start taking responsibility. And so where are you? Are you 48? Are you 38? And you're still giving excuses? Or are you really saying, I'm owning this? And what does it mean to own it, right? You're in God's will or you're not in God's will. So if you're in God's will and you look around, seriously, look around, take a self-inventory of the things that you have created, the things that you built, the house that you built, the sugar on top, right? Is it a gingerbread house or is it a house of like a pigsty? Smelly. Is it skank and gross? Or is it, you know, you tell me. You tell God, right? Is this what God... So I just have one simple question. This is what God built for you? This is where God wanted you to go? I think this is such an important question for every step we take in life. Right at what I'm talking about right now. The self-evaluation of saying, oh, really? Because I just have one question. Okay, so what I mean is, you're going to tell me that you're in God's perfect will. And I just have one question because I'm ready for the, are you ready for the paper, like the tissue paper thin? Lick your finger and the tissue paper thin. Oh, really? Tell me more. Right? Tell me more. But really, I just want you to tell yourself more. Because if you're in God's will, you should be able to write an entire blog, page after page after page, of following God's will. Well, Mark, when I was this age and I was in this month, God told me like he was. I was praying. I was in supplication on my knees, begging him, and he opened the door for this X, Y, and Z, right? And then the next year and the next month, and you know, maybe you've got a journal, right? If God is talking to you, by the way, if God is talking to you, where is your journal? I want you to imagine the God of the universe is supposedly, I'm doing air quotes for those on the podcast, I'm doing air quotes, supposedly talking to you, and you didn't write any of it down? Well, I know I'm in God's will, Mark. I mean, I understand that you could memorize a spot or two. But like, God is talking to you. We should write that down. God literally, not kind of, sort of, but like you realize you're purporting to be a Christian. And those are the receipts that you have to share with your daughters when they grow up and your son when he grows up and your mom, dad, uncles, aunts, whoever, grandpas, grandpas, grandmas. Isn't that something you just can't wait to share? Or is it total hush hush? Like no one else's business that God spoke to me. Moses had a different plan. God spoke to him and he came down off that mountain and said, God spoke to me, by the way. Do you see the juxtapose? We like to juxtapose with the Bible around here. I think that's a good idea. God's talking to you. It's not something you can keep a secret. So what I'm asking you to do is simply look around, right? And say, am I in the rain, like this song? Am I in the rain? Am I in the rain? Is this a testimony? Where's my testimony? Where's my testimony? This is a big part of my testimony, coming out of the rain. But it was, you know, it's what, again, it's like humans, right? We have to go into the rain. After knowing the truth, we have to go into the rain. We have to go into the nonsense. We have to go into the maybe even the fires of hell. The stupidity of what, you know, the world has to offer us, the foolishness. I was preparing for a gig this weekend and just today. And I looked, I was like, this is good because it was all clean. I have to look for clean music as a DJ. I have to look for clean tracks. And I've been listening to this one song, and I've always had the clean version. I thought, there's this one part, I'm like, what is she saying right there? I want to know what she's saying, because it's always bleeped out. And yep, I looked it up, and the kids are singing a song about popping pills, among other things. But yeah, so they did bleep that out. I thought, wow, This is what they're doing. This is, and it's it, and the trick of the song was, you know, are you game to pop pills without worrying about what they are? What? That's right. So it's crazy what we're opening ourselves up to by listening to this stuff, right? Crap, this trash. So the rain. We have to go through the rain. Why as humans do we have to go through the rain, through the trouble, through the heartache, just so we can say, God, forgive me, when he was there all the time? And it's almost like we have to feel, the locusts, so to speak, or the frogs, and all of the heartache on the other side of that fence. It looks so pretty until we get there. And then we're like a pig in the pig's trough, in the prodigal, having a good time over there, downtown, having a good time, but then ending up with the pigs, because nobody cares. All they wanted was your money, and probably your nonsense. As long as you got money to pay for it, yeah, that's great. But we come back, and we are smarter, and we go, oh man, am I ready to serve God now? Yeah, that preacher and my parents, yeah, they were right all along. Maybe sometimes it takes years for that to happen. We'll pray for that. So I think in general, I wanted to just chat and make sure that you can look at yourself and say, yeah, actually, Mark, yeah, this is God's will. I bring that up again, just a reminder of just how epic it is to claim that you're in the middle of God's will and everything around you is not showing that. You ever wonder what other people are seeing? Like, you see, it's easy because it's so hard to self-evaluate. That's why we need to disciple each other. But it's so hard to self-evaluate when you see 2020 when you look at your life. And then, this is what I did the other day. I walked across the street to talk to my neighbor. And we were talking about his yard. And then I'm looking at my yard. And then I spot something over there in my yard. I'm like, man, it's a whole different thing when you're standing over here. Because I'm constantly looking over across the streets. We live on the corner. So I got a couple streets. Man, it's a whole different thing when you're across the street looking back at your own house going, man, didn't realize that kind of looks junky, this one little part, or maybe this other part, maybe, you know, and you want to go clean it up or fix it up and maybe give it a paint job, or maybe, who knows, put some stone on there, maybe weed eat better, clean up the trash. And that's the way it is with our lives. So I just, you know, this whole idea of coming out of the rain and being in God's perfect will, I'm kind of, this is my thing, right? This is my wheelhouse. Because we can't really help the kingdom really too much with all these problems that we've got, and we're ignoring them. You know, when you have a problem and you put it on the back burner, and they say, as you continue to switch the problems to the back burner, you run out of space on the back of the burner. So you have to bring the problem up to the left or to the right. And then you keep, so the thing that you put off to for later, it ends up back to the main centerpiece of the thing that you're cooking. So you just postpone the problem, put it off till later. A lot of relationships end like that, right? And let's take a look at those lyrics one more time for the second verse. Drugs give peace and they bring me closer to God. You ever had anybody say that? Come on, Mark. Don't you know drugs, they give peace? Actually, when you're really high on these drugs, it's actually it's like you have a conversation with God. Wow, right? We've all made mistakes and sometimes wondering what we are, forgetting who he is the line. Love that line. Wrote this song a long time ago. I don't even have a date on it, but it's an old one. It's an oldie. But we have to have an ear to listen. There's the bridge. We have to have an ear to listen. Do we have an ear to listen? To self-evaluate? I think you all know that we're living in a world right now where any kind of self-evaluation is kind of like, why would you want to evaluate me, Mark? You need to worry about your own problems. And this is the problem with church, right? This is the problem. It's everybody's ignoring the elephants in the room. Nobody knows how to disciple. I mean, this is discipleship 101, is helping your brother and sister out. Of course, cleaning yourself up first, right? We know this. And this is just a cognitive dissonance of how things are supposed to work, because we don't even see ourselves ever juxtaposing our lives, the way we do things now, with the Bible. I mean, we know that the Bible's there. We know it's real important and it says some really important things. But the idea that we would juxtapose our current lives and try to live that way, like the biblical way, I'm not saying start wearing sandals, just saying that idea is so removed. It's a cognitive dissonance, right? It's like, no, that's what? That doesn't make any sense. Why would we do that? And now you know why we're in the place that we're at. This is where we're at. Welcome to reality. You look around and you want to blame everybody else, right? We really do. We want to see who's the real baddies. And it's really just people that just it's not anybody that we can point at. Do you know what it really is? It's the people that are not there in those positions of power. Right? And it's supposed to be you. So the people that are supposed to be there making change in our world, that's supposed to be you. Not you particularly, but in general, there's people out there that are going to be called for that. And so we have to stand up and get into those positions of power and run those positions of power just like Jesus would, right? Scripturally. And what does that mean? You know, we're supposed to be living in a society that is biblically based. How do we live in a society? The society sets the moral tone for our community. So we need to be in positions where we can set the moral tone. This is not rocket science. And then when things come up and the nonsense appears and arises, you know, we gotta say no. And this is interesting because a lot of this stuff is, yeah, it's voted in. So maybe people are, let's say in LA or something, there's not a snowball's chance, right, that you would ever get voted in, maybe. Because they're not going to want anybody that's standing on biblical, you know, things. But then that's okay because their cities and their communities can just go, you know, and just turn bad, right? Well, what about your city, your town? Weird things happening, right? So anyway, I like to talk in deep about these types of thoughts. Like, let's just ponder. Am I in God's perfect will? And if I know that I'm not, should I take the time to self-evaluate and try to get into God's perfect will? Should I do that? Is that something that's necessary? And, you know, and again, it's a process, but we just have two things. This is so simple. We just have two things to worry about. Okay. And that is we need to work on our salvation, right? So we get saved. We're saved. Hey, I'm saved. I'm done, right? Okay. There was a starting gun and there was a finishing gun all at the same time. I started and I finished. All right. I'm already there. I won the race. And the race has just begun because you're drinking milk, the milk of salvation. It's time to eventually, as we become stronger Christians and understand the way we're supposed to live with the rules of the Bible, right? And what's right and what's wrong. It's always moral rules, by the way. It's so hard to kind of wrap your head around that a little bit for some folk, because the morality rules, no, you know, who, no, you're telling me there are rules? What? Yeah, there's, I hate to tell you this, but yeah, there's morality rules. And then we need to work our family with those morality rules, and then work our community with those morality rules. And then all of a sudden we live in peace and harmony. That's, you know, an ideal. I realize that we haven't actually been able to do that, because I've never, like I said in other past episodes, I've never, ever, ever seen discipleship in action. Now, I do want to make sure that y'all understand what I mean by that, because I thought maybe I said that the other day and I wasn't specific. In a group sense, which is generic, you understand, when a pastor, and just even right now, when I'm talking to the group, right? We have a group of people listening. The pastor has a group of people. When you talk to people in a group and you say X, Y, and C about how they're supposed to be discipled, that's what a pastor is doing. It's a generic discipleship. You know, we got to stop this sin. We got to stop that sin. We got to stop this sin. We got to stop that sin. Everybody is absorbing it, going, gosh, I'm glad he's not talking to me. I mean, this is true, right? So it's a generic disciple, but I've never seen discipleship in action. What is discipleship in action? And that is being your brother's keeper. You become friends. You become more than just friends, because you're Christian friends. You become a family of believers. People say the family of God, the family of believers. But when you become a real family of believers, you begin to correct your brothers and sisters in private. Bible is filled with this type of lingo. So you correct your brothers and sisters in private. And how would you even get to that point? Well, you become their friend. You become their family. So there's a couple of things there that we're already missing. We don't have, we have friends, but we really haven't moved on from friendship to family in the church, where you're literally the family. And you know, you can tell your family member what's up. Like, seriously, you can tell your family member the truth, whether it's your sister or your brother or your dad or your mom. When you've had enough, can you not look at them and tell them the truth? Of course you can't. So this is not hard to think of. It's not hard to process that information. So when you have a family of believers and you're going to be your brother's keeper, you're going to be your sister's keeper, and you're going to help them and establish a bond of love, friendship, and family, then you can go to that person and say, you know what? I've been, you know, but first you clean yourself out. That's what you do. You get all the planks out. It's very scriptural. You get all the dust out, and you go to that person and you disciple them in love. We don't have that going on. I've never seen it. It's never happened to me. Never seen it. Ever. Never. Going all my life. My dad was a preacher, right? My dad was an interim pastor. I've been going to church all of my life. I have never seen discipleship in action. I've only seen a generic form from to the group. By the way, I guess I am a wrestling fan. You know, the wrestling. I'm a wrestling fan. I always think it's so much fun. How funny it was when I was younger, when I would go, even here locally, I would go down to the arena where they would have the big wrestling coming into town, and Ric Flair would come into town, and some of these idiot losers. Now I know they're idiot losers, but at the time I really looked up to them. But yeah, they would come into town, and you know, maybe even on television, you'd see them, and they'll call the group of people, they'll call them white trash rednecks, and everybody laughs. And I thought, that's actually a really interesting thing to ponder. Why is everyone laughing when he's putting you down like a redneck or whatever? And I understand that a lot of people like being called that. But in reality, if you really took a second and broke that down, really, truly, you are saying to yourself, well, I'm not the redneck trash. It's this guy over here. Right? And that person is going, well, I mean, in reality, I'm not the redneck trash. It's that guy over there. And they're both laughing. Everyone's laughing, thinking that the wrestler is talking about somebody else. When everybody thinks that the wrestler on the mic is talking about somebody else, that's the trick. That's the wake-up call moment when you realize, wow, is that happening in our church? When this generic discipleship, and there's never any connection with the pastor. Like I said, the pastor has 52 weeks a year. He could meet with one parishioner. He could meet with one person a week. And that meeting can be for 3 hours even, where he becomes their friend and makes himself available as a friend. And then you begin that relationship. That's 52 people a year, right? And then I proposed that the pastor could create a list of questions on a Google Doc that everyone gets it prior to the 3 hour meeting. And their answers, maybe they'd fill it out, because I have a thing with my DJ thing. Maybe they fill it out and it's no one else can know about it. It goes straight to the pastor's inbox, and he, just like I do with my DJ gigs, and he reads the answers, and then it sets him up for the 3 hour interview. What does the pastor do during that 3 hour interview? Depending upon the relationship, maybe they've known each other for 10 years, the pastor and the layman. And then, but so if they've known each other for 10 years, now the pastor has an opportunity to say, tell me about the sin in your life. This is between me and you. I want to disciple you. Tell me about it. Be honest with me, because we're gonna cut it out of your life. We're going to get you right where you need to be so you can be a better vessel and a better disciple for God. And the things that God wants you to do, we're going to get the sin out of your life so you can better accomplish those things. Tell me about your sin. Do you not realize this is what I long for? I don't want to run for it from it. Do you? Seriously, do you? Seriously, I'm asking you as a Christian, would it not make you feel so amazing? Wouldn't that make you not, it's not all about feelings, but wouldn't it make you like, oh my gosh, the pastor is really caring about me. My shepherd, by the way, the one guy that you'll allow to call your sin out, the one guy that you will allow to call your sin out. And I've been to church for 40, what is it? I'm 48. I've been to church that I can remember all my entire life, and not one singular time has a pastor offered to do what I just said. And it would make me so happy to go in there and self-evaluate and to share it with someone else. It's never happened in a Sunday school class. It's never happened at a discipleship conference, a men's conference, or at the church. Ever, 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 ever. I've never seen it. I've never even heard about it. It has never happened. I don't even know a church. I've never even heard a rumor that it's happened. Ever. I make such a big deal about it because it's like, this is what discipleship is, and I've never seen it. We only have two things to do, folks. We only have two things, salvation and discipleship. That's it. And the machinations that happen from that, and the arms that the stretch from there. That's it. I've never seen discipleship. So that's why I've coined Christian Light, L-I-T-E, Christian Light. So that's what we're doing. That's what we're up to. Yeah, the bride of Christ is going to be a baby bride. I talked about it on Friday. The bride of Christ is going to be a milk-drinking baby bride. But there's got to be a few out there that's, because I'm positive that the milk-drinking baby bride will not be invited to the marriage feast. This is a fact. Go look it up. Because the bride will be ready and prepared. Look at all the things that a bride does to prepare. It's all written out there in the scripture, right? And so it's time to come out of the rain. This is my song for the week, okay? I think this is the right button. Yeah. It's time to come out of the rain, right? This is a big testimony for me. A big testimony. And I can't wait to share all the details of, you know, writing this song. on Wednesday. I'll do that for story time. But I can't wait to tell you and explain to you just how that's all panned out for me. And this is it's such an amazing song. Amazing song. Great. It's like a testimony. And I want to know, are you trying to come out of the rain and you just need that little extra push? Well, maybe me talking to you right now is going to push you and say, stop playing around. We're talking about the God of the universe here, right? And the God of the universe should be walking with you like this, like a friend walking with you hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, arms around each other, right? We're walking this path together. It should be an epic thing that you'd actually maybe possibly want to go write a novel about. Much less, oh yeah, I can tell you every time God spoke to me. And now that I say it out loud, I'm not so sure that I have it documented, but I have these songs. And I've counted 120 of them that I want to release. So in a small way, every time God spoke to me, maybe I'm writing a song. I'm not saying every single time, but maybe I should have written it down more. Where God spoke to me. I know He spoke to me. The God of the universe is telling me, get back out of the rain. Get yourself in here, dry off, and let's get to work. It's time to roll up those sleeves and let's get to work for the kingdom. That's all I'm trying to get you to do tonight. It's to self-evaluate. And then we've got to clean up whatever's happening in the church, this whole Christian light thing. And it has many forms. It has men on going to men's conferences. And the intro to the men's conference is a guy dancing, taking his shirt off, putting a sword, licking the sword, putting the sword down his throat, and doing spins on a pole. And this guy, perchance, he used to be a stripper. I don't know the details of all that with this gentleman, but it was just, maybe he's a Christian now. I don't know those details. I'm just saying, this is what we're going tit for tat. This is what we're fighting about. This is what we're putting up our dukes and talk. Like, even the discussion of it is so nonsense. What I want to talk about is, okay, did you have to pay to go to that men's conference? Yeah, you did. So we could talk about who was right and who was wrong. So another pastor called out this nonsense while he had the mic. You ever had that happen at a wedding? Somebody has the mic and they say something out of turn, calling out the main guy who set up the whole thing. This is a pay-to-play men's conference. So none of the men got up. I mean, some of them got up, but just think about it. You really can't get up to protest. You've already paid for the thing. So you got to stay in your seat and either boo or cheer. The whole thing is nonsense that you would even pay for a men's conference. Oh, but Mark, you don't understand. We got to pay for the arena, and we got to pay to have this really good pastor to come because he normally couldn't make it. We just gonna pay some of his expenses, and it goes on with the excuses about how we have to pay for Christianity, how we have to pay for salvation, how we have to pay for discipleship. Oh, by the way, I know I've already said you have to pay for stuff, but yeah, we are selling t-shirts in the lobby, and we got coffee and food and snacks and teas and all. And I know it's one more thing, but we got books, lots of books, and they're on sale. Just so you know, they're on sale. Well, super sale. Don't you worry about it. But we do have change. We brought lots of cash to change. But we also, man, we do touch-free pay. You know, you just pay with your credit card and you just touch the thing. And all of a sudden, man, we don't even have, it's paperless. Do you see? It's just absolutely insane. It's insane. It's insane. It's, oh yeah, and I forgot one more thing. We have to raise a little money because we made all these video montages and bumpers, and they're really high def, and they're really, I mean, to have somebody do that for free, Mark, I mean, who would volunteer? Well, I mean, I guess a Christian who has given his life to Jesus might volunteer, but he's probably low quality. We need to hire an actual, like a like a, I don't know, like a business that does it, somebody who specializes in graphics. Yeah, I don't think we want to have a layman who just, you know, who just knows how to do that at his house and would be willing to volunteer. I think we need a little bit higher definition and higher quality, somebody who's got the real nice program. So yeah, we're going to have to pay for this guy. So we need a lot of money to do that, Mark, and we got to pay. Do you understand how it's just sickening? At what point do you just go, what is going on here? Is this the church that God wanted to set up? Is this the thing? Wow. Out of the rain. Come out of the rain. All right. Are you ready to come out of the rain tonight? And I could keep going. I want to talk a little bit more about the finances, but I think that's good tonight. We maybe get into it on another night, but we shall see. Again, to recap the night before I do my 5-song concert, okay? I started out by asking you to do some self-evaluation. And is this the perfect will? And if it is, hallelujah. But the question is this the perfect will? Your life, the way that you, what I'm talking about, from the car you drive, to the job you have, to the house you live in, to the cleanliness of that house you live in, to the friends that you have, the friends that you don't have, the friends you wish you had, the family, everything in your life. Is this what, are you in the perfect will of God? Because, you know, you would know, right, if you were listening to him, if you were obeying him, and if so, wonderful. Keep listening. And if not, why? Let's get there. Can we get there? Maybe we need to put it in reverse. Can't go back too many exits. That's the problem with time, right? Can't go back too many exits, but we can put it in reverse, get out of this rut, and move on to something new. Move on to a better understanding of what God wants for us. And then all of a sudden, I'm telling you, what's the stupid saying where they say a butterfly can flap his wings over here on the East Coast and around the world? There's a trickle-down effect that causes a tsunami. I don't know. Maybe we could do that. Here, I'm gonna wave my arms like this. maybe you'll just get a whiff of the Holy Spirit or something half a world away, right? No, I'm just joking about that. But I just want you. This is what's going to happen, right? When we really start seeing the needle and the dial turn, right? Is when everyone starts to self-evaluate and go, you know what? This is crazy. I am going to put a stop to what's going on in my church. I'm going to put a stop to what's going on in my life, I should say, first. And then I'm going to say, you know what? We're going to clean this up. Maybe you're an elder in the church and you're listening to this show and you're like, you know what? I'm ready to clean this up. This is a mess. What's been going on in my church for whatever, maybe you've went to a church all your life. You're going to clean this. Are you going to help me clean this mess up and start a revolution with me? It starts with us, grassroots, the layman. I'm sitting here playing this guitar, right? I'm sitting here playing this guitar because God told me to do it right now on this show. God told me to do it. There is no charge for you. I never set it up that way. I never wanted it to be that way. And God said, no, 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 no. This is what you're doing for me. This is the gift I gave you. You will not charge for the gift I gave you. I gave you this gift. Yes, you've spent years and years and years working out these songs, but that's not for you to make money off of the gift that I gave you. So I am about to do 5-song concert and prove just how awesome God is because these songs, God's singing through them. Okay, let's get real. Oh, and we have to say goodbye to our number 8 song because that's what we do on Monday. We have to say goodbye to one song because we have to make room for this song right here, the number 23 song. So let's pop it on back to song number 8. I'm going kind of fast here, but that's okay. And I'm going to do 5-song concert from, it'll be the first 5 songs that I sang last Sunday. And that's how it works, okay? So this song says bye-bye, last time for a good while, right? Last time until you decide you're going to special request it and say, please play that song again. I really love it. And I do love this song. By the way, if everybody's everybody's keeping score. The braces are still in, and I still have the wax. And so, yeah, I've got a fat lip here. Had Invisalign for years and years, but you know what? The Invisalign. My orthodontist said enough. Let's get those. Let's get some braces just on the bottom. Thank goodness. All right. Understand, pray for me while I'm singing with these extra braces, okay? No man can take you away. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. I give them a choice, and they follow me. They have eternal life for accepting me, receiving me. They're precious in my sight. Yes, they are worthy of me. And I laid it down for you with the power to sanctify and lift it up. I put you in my hand, and no man can take you away. And you put it in your heart deep down where the faith will impart and justify. You are worthy in my sight, and no man can take you away from my love. Jesus calls your name. Will you know me? Really know me? My spirit is the flame. Will I reach you, teach you? I'm standing at the door. Will you love me, really love me? And open up your heart to be worthy of me. And I laid it down for you with the power to sanctify and lift it up. I put you in my hand, and no man can take you away. And you put it in your heart deep down where the faith will impart and justify. You're worthy in my sight, and no man can take you away from my love. And no one can take you away from me. Yeah, no one can take you away from me. Take you away from me. You can't take them away from me. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. They have eternal life. Yes, they are worthy. I laid it down for you with the power to sanctify and lift it up. I put you in my hand, and no man can take you away. And you put it in your heart deep down where the faith will impart and justify. You're worthy in my sight, and no man can take you away. And I laid it down for you, and I put you in my hand, and you put it in your heart. You are worthy in my sight, and no man can take you away from my love. Yeah. Oh, it's one of my favorite songs. I just love that song. I have to say, how in the world I write that song? I promise you, I have said that many times. Just is what it is. All these, I'm like, why are these so different? Why are these so collective? Oh, thank God, praise God. Okay, so we're going to go to this, and then we're going to go to this. Now we're going to do this. Okay, now we're going to do that for one lifetime. Let's do some one lifetime today. You only have one lifetime. You understand the time, the clock is ticking, friends. You only have one lifetime. There only is one Savior. Let's go. Ooh, yeah. One lifetime. Choosing to give. Choosing to live. One Savior. He is alive. Ooh. He cannot lie. When all is come and gone, there is no fear. He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to Him. If you want to live on this rock I stand. While I'm digging in the dirt, let's all clap our hands. And nobody gets hurt. The physiology of the church is not the steeple. It's the people that sow and reap for. Oh, one lifetime, choosing to give, choosing to live. One Savior, He is alive, He cannot lie. When all has come and gone, there is no fear, He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to Him if you want to live. Live, 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 live. Bye, bye, bye. Sell, sell, sell. Take freedom and make it wealth. Brother, love has lingo and B-I-N-G-O-O-O for the steeple, but not lost people. Oh, my life. Choosing to give, choosing to live. One Savior, He is alive, He cannot lie. When all is come and gone, there is no fear, He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to Him. If you wanna hide. No, oh, ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Bum, na 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 na, bum, da da bum, bum, da da bum, bum, na 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 na, bum, da da bum, bum, da da bum, 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 na 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 na, bum. Choosing to give, choosing to live. He's got one Savior. He is alive, He cannot lie. No, no. When I was coming gone, there is no fear. He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to Him. If you wanna, do you wanna live for? Do you wanna live for? Do you wanna live? Do you want to live? Whoa, whoa. For one lifetime, choosing to live. Got one.
one Savior. He is alive, he cannot lie. When all has come and gone, there is no fear. He is still here. Emotion, devotion, give it to him. If you want, if you wanna, if you wanna, do you wanna live?
That was too. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job, Mark. Let's see what we got here. Number three for tonight is 1, 2, 3, 4. So far, so good. The clicker still works. Good. One, two, three, four.
The bad wolf is at the door, trying to make you think you're alone, and that's what makes you weak. Well, I want you to know, the lie is where he makes his home. Just call upon my name and I will come. Hear my child, I won't let you fall. You're not alone. No, you're not alone. One, two, three, four. Leave all your troubles at the door and tell me of a place that you wanna run to, 'cause I wanna take you where the sun shines bright, and I'll be there to hold you in my arms forever. You've tried everything you know for happiness and peace, but the voices in your head are hard to cease. The Lord says in him we have redemption through the blood he shed. The peace of God is waiting. Hear what he says. He's saying, hear my child, I won't let you fall. You're not alone. No, you're not alone. One, two, three, four. Leave all your troubles at the door and tell me of a place you wanna run to, 'cause I wanna take you where the sun shines bright, and I'll be there to hold you in my arms forever. In my arms, in my arms, in my arms forever. In my arms, in my arms, forever, together, whatever the weather. For leave all your troubles at the door and tell me of a place that you wanna run to, 'cause I wanna take you where, oh, the sun shines bright, and I'll be there to hold you in my arms forever. Ooh, forever.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3. I've got two more. Palm of your hand, let's go. Palm of your hand, where are we at? Palm of your hand. No, is that it? No, I pushed too far ahead. Palm of your hand. Let's go. Palm of your hand. Let's see what we got here. Palm of your hand. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. He is waiting to hear from you. Hold me in the palm of your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. What do you have to give? Have you any faith that his words will not return void? Don't you know he's waiting, so patiently waiting for you? Hold me in the palm of your hand. I am weak, there he is strong, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. And just like sheep in the fold, don't know which way to go. Ooh, to be complete, yet so unique. He just wants to hear you say, hold me in the palm of your hand. When I am weak, there you are strong, so, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Hold me in the palm of your hand. I am weak, there you are strong, so, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Changing me for the world to changing me for the world to see. Make sure they see it. Praise God. Background pictures. Yep, looking good, looking good. those of you on the podcast, I got really cool pictures in the background. My fam. All right, folks, we got one more song for tonight's awesome concert. Sinner's Prayer. The Sinner's. The. I didn't want to say the. So I say Sinner's Prayer. The. Get the the out of there. Let's do a different guitar. Let's do a guitar that is so I can sing it. Sinner's Prayer on this song. If you'd like to become a Christian, you can sing this song. Mean it with all your heart. Change your life. Do a 180. Join us on this road, and you will become a Christian. Follow Jesus. He's the one and only. Only one. Only way to heaven, baby. Here we go. As lost could be, in need of a Savior. So please forgive me, 'cause I am a sinner. Oh Lord, I need you. Oh Lord, I need you. Jesus, Jesus, please come into my heart. Amen. Five-song concert is up on this Monday. Ooh, isn't that nice? Thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, man, what a great night tonight's been. Want to learn more about this show? Please visit my website, mwdhq.com, and download free demos of each song. That's right, F-R-E-E, free. And email me from the Connect page. Subscribe to this channel and get notifications for when I go live. This is a 3-year setup here for releasing 120 songs. I'm on song number 23, so I've only got 2.5 years left. So, but it's a 3-year project of me giving you everything. I'm going to give it to you for free, 120%, 120 songs anyway. And we're going to have fun with releasing these songs, singing them all the time. I'm going to put them in your head so you can't get them out, right? Praise God. Join me as I prep you for church and explore the significant meanings of salvation and discipleship. You guessed it, the mission of the church. That's right, the mission of the church, which, by the way, that would be me. That would be me and you. Together we are the church, right? Two people gathered together, right? Become a Christian. Begin to walk the talk. Strengthen your walk with God. Get inspired by what I'm saying. Pass it on as you begin to challenge your friends and family with your words and actions. Become a better husband, wife, son, daughter, father, mother, granddad, grandmother, neighbor, friend, leader, and follower. I have two questions for you tonight. Number one, what is that specific thing God has called you to do? We want to know, both regarding your life's purpose and this very day. He's calling you. You gotta slow down enough. You gotta listen. Have you passed it forward by challenging and encouraging someone today? That's number two. I have the second question. Let's put this into practice. You ready to put some of this into practice? These are very poignant, very cutting to the meat, right? Cutting to the thing questions, right? So we're gonna ask you, I'm gonna do some statements here. We're either going to absorb them or we're gonna share them with someone else. I believe in you. I want to help you. I've been praying for you. I was wrong. I'm sorry, and I want to make amends. Please forgive me from my heart and soul. Thank you. I sincerely love you. God loves you. God is patiently waiting for you. God has a daily purpose for you. God has a purpose for you in general. Interesting way to say that last one. God has a purpose for you. Let's go. You know, that purpose-driven life. Do you have a purpose? We got to make it a godly purpose, don't we? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining my church prep family. I'll see you live Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Song of the Week's backstory. Ooh, can't wait to do it. Out of the rain. Ready to come in out of the rain? To God be the glory. All I could do.